Welcome back. 1221, 1260 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. We're expecting a call from Dr. Ben Carson. I got to tell you, every Wednesday I talk to Dr. Ben, and he is always so kind and courteous. That's just his demeanor. And he is traveling all the time now. I mean, he is he's always in an airport somewhere, okay? And we knew today that he was going to be close. He said that he was going to be in Chicago, I believe it is. And he was kind of between flights or whatever, and he was going to try to make sure that he called and talked to me at 1221 today, and obviously shared with you the latest on his column, and we may have some difficulty with that today. But again, I mean, this guy, he always makes a concerted effort to do what he says he's going to do. And I also noticed that he's getting a lot of press about this new book of his that is on the way. And I actually think that he's on the line right now. Ah, there he is. Dr. Ben, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you, sir?
I was just talking about you. I said, you're always on the run now, so I never quite know. I don't know where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing.
I'm pretty much in the same boat.
All right. I want to talk to you about your column today, Recovering America's Exceptionalism. By returning to goodness, the nation can achieve greatness once again. This week you go way back in time, 1831, and you're also going to test my French today. You reference Alexis de Tocqueville, the historian. Why?
Well, because, he was the front man for the Europeans. They were so fascinated with why America was doing so well. And it was just a fledgling nation. And nobody had ever done that well before, right off the block. So he was a great and well-known historian. So he was going to come and dissect everything so he could find the secret. Or was America, in fact, doing as well as they thought? And he was incredibly impressed. But the thing that impressed him the most was in our schools, we actually taught the difference between right and wrong. And, what we have done now is we've adopted the Roman way of doing things. Before the fall of the Roman Empire, all these great learned men with the long white robes and the long flowing beards could wax eloquently on any subject. And everything became relative. Nothing was right. Nothing was wrong. The same thing that we've done. We used to have very solid Judeo-Christian values. And I think that was the thing that stood us far above everyone else. And as we relinquish those things, everything that used to be good, now we say is bad. Everything that used to be bad, now we say is good. We have just gone completely in the wrong direction. And I don't think most people actually want that to happen. I think most people actually do believe in the values that created goodness in this country, but they've been beaten into submission. They're afraid to say anything. And what I'm saying is that we need to stop being afraid, and we need to stand up for what we believe in. And if there are others who prefer a different system, there are other places where they can go and enjoy themselves.
Yeah. It's interesting. He came to look at the country, and he was fascinated by the success of our country despite its very young age, and he wanted the secret. He no doubt found some of the secrets to success, but yet we didn't see that translate to Europe in a lot of areas.
We did not, nor have we seen them rise anywhere near as rapidly as we did. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to understand, this was a fledgling group of people who really had nothing in their background, who rapidly rose to the pinnacle of the world in terms of wealth and power. I mean, there is something extremely exceptional about that. And then stop and look at World War II, when the whole world was about to come under tyranny. And the only thing that stopped it was this country.
Mm-hmm.
So we are very exceptional.
Yeah. And one of the things you refer to is early on, it wasn't enough for our young people to learn to read and write and add and subtract. You also had to be prepared to deal with getting from point A to point B, as an example, which wasn't easy. You know, I just mentioned to Ann, my producer, that, you know, the kids today, I don't think realize, you know, how tough it was many, many years ago. Now they simply go to an iPad and...
exactly true. And also, think about what they knew. Have you ever looked at any of the letters, for instance, that came from, you know, settlers out west? I mean, the flowing prose, I mean, it looks like something that an English PhD wrote.
Yeah.
And that was common. That's what they did. But also, you know, look at the exit exam that you had to pass to get a middle school certificate in the early to mid-1800s. You know, there are examples of the questions in my book, America the Beautiful. I doubt most college graduates today could answer those questions. Yeah. You know, we had to dumb things down to that level. And people knew how to do things. They knew how to build roads and bridges and dams, and they knew how to invent things. And that can-do attitude was really the thing that distinguished us from virtually everybody else.
Yeah.
And as we replace that with the "what can you do for me" attitude, you will see a concomitant decline in our position in the world.
Mm-hmm. Folks, you have to read this, Recovering America's Exceptionalism. It's Dr. Ben Carson, and it's in today's Washington Times and also available online at WashingtonTimes.com. Before I let you run, I know your soon-to-be-released book is getting some headlines. In fact, I saw your face all over Fox News yesterday. I mean, all over Fox News yesterday. You got a few headlines when it was reported the White House wanted an apology from you after your now famous comments at the National Prayer Breakfast. Is that true?
Yes, yes. Some of the organizers of the prayer breakfast, I got a call within 15 minutes.
No kidding.
Saying that, you know, the White House is very upset and that I should call and apologize. And I simply said, well, you know, I don't see any reason why they would be upset unless what I was saying applied to them.
Yeah, God bless you. I'll tell you what. All right, I look forward to this book, and when are we going to get this?
It comes out on May the 20th. One of the unique things about it is after each chapter, there are like four action steps that people can take, because a lot of times people say, yeah, but what can I as an individual American do?
Yeah.
Well, it's all put it out right there.
Okay. We'll talk as we get closer to the release date. I'm sure you'll have more surprises for us.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, thanks, Andy.
See you later. Dr. Ben Carson. Oh, man, I got to tell you, he's a piece of work. I love the guy. I really do. White House demands an apology, and he's like, nah, I don't think so. Dr. Ben Carson, Professor Emeritus of Neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University and author of the forthcoming book, One Nation, and, of course, a Washington Times columnist. All right, a lot more to come, including Charlie Hurt on the way in the next half hour. Wilson and Obama, 100 years apart, but so alike.